Broken windshield? Call Stanton Auto Glass at 412-377-1954. Special cash prices. Lifetime warranty, over 25 years of experience, mobile service, $100 off insurance deductible. Call Stanton Auto Glass at 412-377-1954 for details. Online at stantonautoglassreplacement.com.
Duffy's Beer presents the morning show on Trib Live Radio featuring Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and Tim Benz. 294 Curry Hollow Road, 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com.
The Trib Live Radio Triple Threat.
He wants three. You know that's a trip. Trip. Triple.
Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and now Tim Benz right here on Trib Live Radio.
Pitt is 4-1. Joining us to talk about it, former Panthers quarterback and now big-time analyst with the Panthers Radio Network, Pat Bostic, here on Trib Live Radio. And I know, Pat, as Virginia had the ball late in that game, one-score contest, you had no fear, right? You weren't thinking, here we go again, same old Pitt. You knew they had it, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. It's been a difference. They've closed the last two out. Whereas maybe in times past or years past, they may not have gotten the job done. So my faith is certainly building, and it's good to see the defense go out there and shut the door. It'd be even nicer to see the offense, you know, make plays when they need to at the end of the game and put the game on ice so my heart rate can rest.
So, Pat, you were even thinking that after 4th and 23, huh?
Yeah, you noticed I was a little bit sarcastic. But no, the 4th and 23 was like, you know, come on, you kidding me? And then they shut them down. So
did they get a little?
It was nicer having blocked the extra point, knowing that at least it would have been a tie ball game going into overtime. But still, my stomach was in a knot.
Did they get a little help in the non-pass interference call at the end of the game?
I thought it evened out. I mean, I thought the refs missed some calls for Pitt. With the hold on Nate Peterman's run, I thought was ticky-tack. I thought the missed call on the, when Peterman recovered the fumble snap and got hit, I thought that should have been a flag 15 easy.
Yes, that should have been.
So, it evened out. So I don't think anyone has any room to complain about the officiating because it kind of evened out. And I thought it was good coverage by Maddox, but obviously with a fourth down non-conversion, you're going to try to get all the help you can get if you're Virginia.
Well, last year this team was 3-0, too, Pat, and you know they've had some good starts recently, but they were 3-2 then after five games. This is different. What do you think this will do for the team, and just in terms of belief, and you know to a lesser extent the fan base? They're going to want to see results every week, but how important was this start?
You know, it's big. I mean, you know, you're close to being 5-0. I think the most, redeemable quality of this start is that you won some tight games. You know, they haven't been blowouts. Last year you blow out Delaware, you go down and play FIU, and that game was tighter than it should have been. But, you know, they had the weather the storm a little bit this year. They've been on the road a lot, which is certainly different. Going on the road again now for two straight weeks. So I think they've overcome some adversity, closed tight games out on the road and at home, and made enough plays offensively to have one or more points in the opponent.
Pat Bostic with us, former Pitt quarterback, now Pitt broadcaster, joining us here with me, Tim Benz, and Ken Laird. When it comes to the defense and you look at how a lot of the guys who are on this roster who were there last year are playing so much better now, Pat, is it just, in your opinion, better tutelage of skills and fundamentals from Pat Narduzzi that's reaching the guys on defense, or scheme changes overhauling the approach to the defensive mindset? What is it that has elevated them so much on the defensive side of the ball?
I think it's a couple things. You know, obviously last year, the youngest team in college football, defensive youth was there. You know, they had youth on both sides of the ball. So they're a year older, a year more mature. They've been through some down times, to say the least, and some rough performances, to say the least. So, you know, personally, to a man, they're a year older and a year more experienced. I think probably the most prevalent thing has been, again, the adherence to the scheme, the lack of kind of throwing things against the wall and seeing if it sticks. They're kind of a defense that sticks to its guns schematically. Certainly there are some some tweaks and some adjustments from week to week, from series to series. But, you know, you hear guys like Mike Caprera and Matt Galambos talk at length about, you know, just how every week they feel like that they're addressing the same things. They're in the same spots, they're in the same alignments, and they're just honing their fundamentals and techniques. When you're able to not worry about scheme and worry about where you're at, chances are you're going to worry more about and focus more on how you're doing things and the speed at which you're playing. And I think that's been evident, and no more evident than the play of Matt Galambos. I think he is a microcosm of this defense's improvement from last year to this year.
Would you go as far as say, Pat, is that Galambos is their defensive MVP, or maybe Price or Maddox? They got a bunch of guys who deserve some recognition, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know if I could name one. I mean, you know, Jordan Whitehead's leading them in tackles. You know, that's, and he planted a guy against Virginia. I mean, it was impressive. He's coming up and sticking people. And Vontae Maddox has been really consistent, probably the most consistent player. Matt has been the most improved player. Juan Price has been the comeback player of the year, if you will. And, you know, Mike Caprera has been a guy that you didn't expect to be a part of the mix and has been a very nice surprise. So there's a lot of stories on this defense, and it's certainly compelling to watch them continue to answer the bell.
Pat Bostic with us. Pat, the blown center quarterback exchanges were a big deal in that game. All three of them. One of them, as you pointed out, the snap over the quarterback's head probably should have resulted in a 15-yard gain, as it turns out. But they didn't get the call on the late hit after Peterman recovered the football. But the first two, they came on third downs. You know, and I noted in the first half that from Virginia's point of view, they had the only conversion they got on third down against that Pitt defense in the first half was when their QB fumbled the ball forward. But for Pitt, yeah, they hurt themselves in those two third down conversions by just bad exchanges on the snap, which is something that definitely needs to get worked out before the next contest.
No doubt. I mean, Tim, you're right on. It's those are so correctable. That's kind of what you mentioned. You know, you're kind of sobered by these wins. You know, they're great wins, they're tough wins, they're gritty wins, but they could be so much better. And it doesn't come down to making Herculean plays. It comes down to protecting the ball. You know, you fumble at the 1 yard line, catching the ball in the end zone, securing a quarterback center exchange, getting a shotgun snap down 3 feet. Little things that, when they happen in key situations, which they happen to have happened in key situations, if they're corrected, you're finding yourself with a more comfortable lead, winning games by 2-3 scores as opposed to one or less.
Well, in terms of the offense in late game situations, Pat, and some of those things that Tim brought up are part of that, the bad snaps, what is the difference between a good offense that can put away a team and what we've seen with Pitt, where they're forcing their D to really ice the game away?
Well, I think, first of all, you get out of your own way.
Yeah.
I mean, they were in their own way against Virginia Tech with penalties. I mean, false starts out the wazoo. They had 8 penalties against Virginia Tech, and they came into that game having only 10 in the first 3 games. So, you know, one of the least penalized teams in the country, which they still are. But, you know, penalties and false starts, get out of your own way there. Muffed exchanges, drop balls, fumbles. You know, things that are just absolutely fundamental and critical to winning football. And I think the nice thing is, you know, you do it every day in practice. You know, you work on your discipline, you work on your center quarterback exchanges, you work on, again, just playing good, you know, fundamental and good technique football. And then it comes down to two. I think you got to be a little more aggressive. And I haven't necessarily thought they've been conservative. I think that's kind of a general consensus that, you know, Jim Chaney's gotten conservative. I disagree. But I think there are opportunities to put games away where guys just haven't made plays. You know, I go back to the Tyler Boyd drop against Virginia Tech. That's a play he makes 99,000 times, and he doesn't make it there. So it just comes down to doing your job. It really isn't anything that I could, you know, author any copyright to. You know, it's just doing your job and playing good football.
Pat Bostic with us. Pat, not to get ahead of ourselves, but let's get ahead of ourselves. You are also the director of development, so let's develop Pitt's schedule here a little bit. Georgia Tech and Syracuse the next 2 weeks, right? Tech surprisingly stinks. I didn't think they'd be this bad. I wasn't sure if they'd be as good as they were last year, but they stink right now. They're, what now, 0-3 in the conference and 2-4 overall. Syracuse couldn't, as my colleague Ken Laird likes to say, build on the moral victory by hanging close against LSU. They took a step back and lost to USF. It's entirely possible that Pitt could be 6-1 with three road conference wins going into that Thursday night game against UNC, with Duke around the corner on the road after that. You take care of North Carolina and Duke, you very well could find yourself in the ACC title game.
Yeah, it's all out there. And I think that's what kind of makes this season fun, and quite frankly, the schedule with a lot of road games early and a lot of home games late, it could add up to some exciting football at Heinz Field in November. So, you know, the beauty of this schedule in the Coastal Division in and of itself is every game's winnable and every game's losable. I'm not ready to anoint this team a ACC champion or a Coastal Division champion yet. They've done enough on both sides of the spectrum to merit question and also merit confidence. But I think every game they'll play this the rest of this year is quite winnable for this team. I have no qualms in putting that out there. And given the change in attitude, the change in level of confidence from their defense and the promise and the spots that they've shown offensively to get better and be dynamic, you know, I think this team has a chance to do something pretty special this year. And it's just going to be a matter of staying healthy and making the plays when you need to.
Well, real quick, Pat, and we always love to give your take on the quarterback just because you played the position. What are you seeing with Peterman? If you had to give him out a letter grade so far, is he a B plus? Is he an A?
I think he's a B. You know, I think, again, you know, it's as a quarterback, you're defined by your unit success and by the team success. And they're 4-1. That's a, you know, 80% win rate, I guess, 4 out of 5. That's a B minus. I think he's played a little better than that. But, you know, 222 yards against Virginia, made most of the throws he needed to, didn't really miss any. I think he's played more than average football, much more than average football. And his ability to throw the deep ball is far greater than what they had last year. That's no offense to Chad. It's just he can get the ball down the field a little better. And I think you know, the signs point forward that he's going to continue to get better and ultimately be a difference maker for this team. So, happy with Nate's performance so far, and I think he's settling in quite nicely.
Well, happy Columbus Day, Pat. We appreciate your time and your insight as always. Great stuff, and we'll talk soon, I hope.
All right, fellas. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat Bostic, Pitt QB, and part of the broadcasting machine over there with Bill Hillgrove, of course. And all of a sudden, Tim, Iowa, the team they lost to in that tight win, that moral victory.
Moral victory, right, yes.
Is 6-0, coming off wins at Wisconsin and home against Illinois. And I don't know if that's going to boost any time in the near future Pitt to a ranked status. Maybe a win on the road against Georgia Tech. I guess you're right. They stink. So might take a while for Pitt to get some national recognition.
You know what it might take, Ken, is two more wins against Georgia Tech and Syracuse in relatively convincing fashion.
And then 6-1 speaks to voters, I guess, doesn't it? Just that.
Yeah, 6-1 speaks to voters, and then either going into or coming out of that North Carolina game, should they win on the, is that a Thursday night? Short week after they likely beat Syracuse.
I love it that you're just giving Pitt that win.
Well, I mean, come
your
on.
Your alma mater, come on.
Yeah, but.
No pride at all, no faith that maybe, you know, that
you
Pitt's
still
unbeatable?
Can't spell suck without SU. After what I saw against USF, I guess you can't spell suck without their UNS as well, but that was bad. What they did to come back in that game and then just piss it away the way that they did.
They gave up 45 points to South Florida.
Did you see the late hit?
I didn't see anything.
Oh, yeah, you got to go online and see this. All right, just picture in your mind the play that we were just talking about with Bostic. Now, for people who didn't see this, and when we were talking Pitt in the first hour, we didn't bring it up, but the three bad exchanges with the center. Ooh. Yeah. Potentially the most damaging one was one that was snapped over the head of Peterman. He goes back and gets the football, falls on it. This Virginia guy comes in about 10 minutes later and then bumps him and knocks him down. Mm-hmm. And no flag was thrown.
None, yeah.
And everybody said, well, what's going on here? That looked pretty obvious to me. There was one in the Syracuse game against USF that made that one look like a natural play, where a Syracuse guy hit a wide receiver out of bounds after they stopped USF down a touchdown in the fourth quarter
with about 10 minutes left to go on a 3rd and 10. So USF was going to get ready to punt the ball right back to him. We could have been looking at a tie game there. And this backup moron defensive back goes out of bounds and just knocks him over. The ref looked at him and said, you could read his lips, I have to. He said to him, I have to. Pit the flag out of his pocket and threw it in the air. I don't know what the kid was thinking. And then they scored there, and they scored another touchdown after that after a turnover. And USF ended up winning by, like, I think 3 touchdowns. So, yes, they will beat Syracuse. They should beat Georgia Tech. And then it's either going into on ESPN or coming out of on ESPN a win against North Carolina that I'm sure would have them ranked going into that Notre Dame game. I'm sure of it.
Now, Georgia Tech's beaten them each of the last 2 years.
Yes.
Thumped them here with 50-some points, 56 points in Heinz Field. 2 years ago at their place, it was a night game, 21-10. Duke has beaten them. They split. They lost in 2 overtimes to Duke. They've lost the last 2 to North Carolina. They blew one last year. They had the lead at the half, and God, just so
pit against
a bad
those two
with these
North Carolina teams, Duke and UNC. It's always a zoo, and whenever you see those
high scoring, they beat
high
them in the bowl
scoring
game.
Back and forth, wild plays, big comebacks. The game, long games, you know, 4 hour grudge matches, 4.5 hour grudge matches, overtimes, whatever. Those matchups are always interesting. They're tough to handicap. So that's why I think the wild card before people nationally have a buy-in on Pitt will likely take place after the nationally televised game between UNC and the Panthers at Heinz Field on the 29th, going into then the Notre Dame game. In fact, I'm wondering, now I've got to look this up. I've got to see, do we know what the Thursday night NFL game is that night?
October 29th?
I'll look that up right now.
Do.
I'll look it up. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that would, they're on national TV. I'm not sure if anyone's going to be watching it against the NFL game, but just off the top of my head, if it's a, you know, Jaguars, Titans, or something like that,
right?
Maybe people would flip over and happen to catch it.
Sportstalk@tribweb.com. 6 times in the last 24 years, Pitt is 4-1. 6 times in 24 years. So it's not exactly once in a.
No, and then
once in a Halley's Comet, but it's notable.
What they're missing right now, though, is the bad loss. You know, the ugly, ugh, how did that happen moment.
Right?
They haven't
with
had
the first
that
year
yet.
Coach, that's notable.